Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio, the best friggin' network for free speech that exists in the continental US. Oh, yes. Now, we have some, quite a good show for you today. We are broadcasting live from the future, as you know. Those of you in the United States, you believe today that today is September the 10th. But in New Zealand, the reality is somewhat different. It is already 6:02 a.m. September 11th, local New Zealand time. Broadcasting live from the future, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Later on today, we conceivably may have a guest from the Awareness Party, a new party that's been springing up in New Zealand here, run by a friend of mine, Lisa Err, trying to get the resonant frequency of the planet up to some point where people won't be such dumbed-down, fluoride-swilling slaves. Much like Will's latest posted video on Facebook, Madness in the Fast Lane. I've not seen a full way through the video, but what I've seen already has destroyed my brain places. Will, could you actually just elaborate a little bit on this video for the audience, please?
It's hard to know where to start, Vinny, and once again, good afternoon, America, on your Friday afternoon. Hope you're having a great day. This is a BBC documentary about how apparently a Swedish pair of sisters, identical twin-looking sisters, jump out into traffic. The police turn up, expecting to see two bodies strewn across the motorway, instead seeing two bodies talking to a fellow police officer. A motorway patrol camera crew is with them, so everything's filmed live. One of the two sisters then happens to jump in front of a lorry, a truck and trailer unit, and be run over by the carriage of the unit. Dual axles, the works, you're talking compound fractures. 5 or 10 seconds later, the second sister jumps out intentionally into traffic, gets bowled by a car, probably picked up into the air and thrown 20-odd feet. They both come to conscience and start fighting the police. Well, one of them is too mangled to really get up and fight, but the one who jumps in secondly isn't injured beyond repair, and she starts fighting the police and then jumps up, runs across the median, and travels into traffic the other side of the road, gets hit again, I believe, gets hit three times within the space of 30 minutes. And survives.
The superhuman powers of Prozac, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. And we'll be right back after the break.
You know how I know?
I'm gonna make love
because it's
to
Wednesday.
Your brain places.
And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love.
Yeah.
It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV.
Yeah, that's right. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and it is business time. And I apologize for cutting off the music too quickly, but you know, some important stuff is going down in the New World Order today, and I just, well, it's worth cutting the music out to give it an intro. In the paper yesterday, the New Zealand Herald, which is a paper that I never buy because it's full of propaganda, this one was given to me for free, thankfully, and buried in the back business section, there was a big article, huge title, that says, Tough Grind in New World Order. It's a New Zealand newspaper, bear in mind. And the global financial crisis has changed the world. The hard part is to figure out how much it has changed and whether it has changed enough. Alan Bollard, who's our finance minister, he's the head of the Reserve Bank here in New Zealand, I believe. Alan Bollard's book, Crisis, published this week, concludes with his reflections on the lessons of the crisis for him and for the rest of us. When it comes to doing a monetary policy, the challenge, he says, is that banks' funding costs have risen and their interest margins have widened. Businesses and households are more cautious and mortgages are of shorter duration. It is a new world and none of us can be quite sure what concepts like normal and neutral now mean, nor how long it will be before interest rates are back at these levels. But we surely find our way to some sort of equilibrium in the years ahead. Most likely dictated by international banks, who got
That's
us into
a spooky
this crisis
quote.
In the first place. Yeah, yeah. And it gets better. The plural years may be significant. It is a On the international horizon, the Reserve Bank governor does not see a slip back into recession. Quote, we don't have a double dip. We don't think a double dip is going to happen. It's not anywhere in our base forecasts. Is it conceivable? Yes. Much more likely, though, is a very soggy recovery, something of a grind, he told the Herald. His account of the origins of the crisis includes the big global current account imbalances, which had built up over the previous decade, and the surge in prices for commodities in general, and oil in particular. The oil that ain't ever going to run out because it's abiotic, which they just made up as a scarce resource so that they can control everybody through their energy supplements, you know? Much like a psychiatrist controls you with a supplement of Prozac. Those imbalances have not been fixed, and we have not seen our last oil shock, he says. As we went through this, we looked out to the future and said the new world is going to be different. At a certain stage, we said it is going to be rebalanced and we will see asset prices back realigned with those international balance of payments deficits even out, he said. That has happened, but only a bit. Flexible prices, in particular exchange rates, interest rates, and the terms of trade, are supposed to deal with such problems, but international distortions in these prices have persisted and look like persisting into the future. New Zealand needs the big economic powers to run sensible monetary and exchange rate policies. Without what, we will be buffeted by whatever global winds blow our way, he said. There are lessons for the United States for the long period of loose monetary policy following the East Asian crisis, and lessons for East Asia about over-reliance on indebted Western consumers as the main drivers of their growth. That's right, we're talking to you, developed world. Let's agree that you're all very, very bad, and if you buy stuff on credit, it's evil. I think that's pretty straightforward, and even a rudimentary moron, you don't have to be a governor of the Reserve Bank of New Zealand to realise this, that buying stuff on credit ain't good for the economy or growth, because it's all false. But falsehood never need matter. The global crisis damaged the old northern countries much more than emerging markets and commodity producers, and this is changing the economic balance of power. To be, quote, crisis resilient in an economy has to be as balanced as possible. With its large savings and current account imbalances, New Zealand can hardly claim this. We need to understand how we built up such a large current account deficit, which reached 9% of gross domestic product at the height of the boom. The challenge is to understand why our household sector was so profligate while the business sector was more abstemious. business seemed to have learned from the 91 to 92 recession when there was a lot of bad debt to be worked through. This time it looks a heap better than that, though we don't want to suggest it's all over. And it goes on and on and on about how terrible the financial crisis is and how we just don't want to be terrible with the Reserve Bank Treasury governors and the fact that the taxpayers have to bail out us all from this terrible crisis. Oh, goodness, the problem reaction solution, ladies and gentlemen. It helps to convince me so ever quickly that I should just give up my sovereignty. You know, but to see an enormous headline in my own local rag that says tough grind for new world order and people tell me that there's no such frickin' thing.
Yeah, they just say, look, Vinny, this is the use of the terms New World Order, and some of it is, and they just mix it in there, so you can never pin it down. It's like all the people who say there's no such thing as the Illuminati today. You can't find anything on the Illuminati in the last 200 years. And so if you're going to be strict and, you know, as atheist as about it as these people are, well, maybe they're almost right. But if you're going to be somewhat perceptive about it, you'd know that there's Knights of the Golden Circle, which have had books dedicated to them on blowing up the Oklahoma City buildings in 1994, 1995. I mean, known Illuminati groups. Bohemian Grove is such a group. Club of Rome is such a group. So, yeah. Once again, it all comes down to people's perceptions. When a lot of people don't want to have background knowledge, so they're just going to go, oh, well, there's no New World Order, and just because a headline uses those terms doesn't mean there is.
Which I find ironic, because at what point in common phrase usage have you ever heard anyone, under any circumstance, say the words New World Order? Nobody ever says those words unless they're a propaganda piece on TV or in the newspapers or in the media of some description, or unless they're a politician spinning the like. It never, ever happens in the general public realm. And at the moment, the difference being between New World Order terminology, the Truth Movement is starting to use it a lot more in order to expose it, and points out articles like these that are just so disgusting to see the headline in itself that we just, I don't know, I can't deal with it, man. I oh my God.
Well, I was having a sit-down discussion with a couple of people who, one of it, which is running for my local community board, and I said, what do you think of this other guy, Jim, who's a long time local anyway, well known around the place, and they said, Jim's a nice guy, but he's a nut. And I said, well, why'd you say he's a nut? And they said, well, when questioned about the UN, he said he didn't trust them because they were helping to build a new world order. And all this other wacky stuff. And I said, well, that's why he gets my vote. See, I didn't even know that about the guy. I already liked him. And they said, all this wacky stuff. And I'm like, well, what makes you think it's wacky? And I was just, come on. You know, it's just ridiculous. You know, the UN's a force for peace and all this sort of stuff. I just find these people that will call themselves open-minded are the most bigoted people out. Because they can't even evidence their own position.
Yeah, and it's terrible when people don't realise that they can't evidence their own position, right? I mean, it's all very well being uninformed, but if you refuse to admit that you can't back up your uninformedness, and if you refuse to learn from it, what the hell is the point in your survival? You know, at any point during the evolution of mankind, if evolution ever happens, of course, the devolution of mankind, this is basically our reality right these days, at what point has any creature not understanding its surroundings survived? Never. So why are people so devoted to being such morons, Will?
Well, because banking system makes life hard for people, so they turn to fatty food and stupid movies and ridiculous music. And sadly, humans are stupid. Humans are a stupid species. Sadly enough, I don't have contempt like the UN just want to kill everyone, but people are dumb enough by themselves, to be frank. And you know, I'm sick of dumb people, but they're always going to be around, sadly. It's not my choice to say otherwise, but potentially they don't have to be as stupid as they are. So I'm just a layman who tries to be a little bit better, but too many people are laymen who just feed themselves with nonsense, and you know, the elite know how to pander to our stupidity. So I was having this conversation with a friend last night, actually, and he doesn't come from the position of believing in a new world order such as us, but a good, open-minded, intelligent guy nonetheless. And sometimes it's good just to hear what an outsider, someone who's outside the cause, thinks of what you're doing, just so you get things in perspective. And whenever I do speak to these people, so Vinny's the optimist on this show and I'm the pessimist, whenever I speak to these such people, they, you know, kind of class me as an idealist and that I'm the optimist in thinking that people can even understand what I'm saying, understand any of this stuff. And I feel that they might be actually more right than I realize, and that people are retarded and we might not be able to get this through to retarded people, and they might not understand it all. And I said, well, what do you think about wrapping things up in humor? And he said, well, they'll just laugh at the funny parts but won't get the point. And I said, well, yeah.
He's maybe the you're pessimist.
Right. I said, maybe. Well, he's definitely the pessimist in that scenario, but it's also good to have someone outside of the movement because he might just be right. But, I think he is right. Well, I think history so far proves him right, because there have been plenty of comedians talk about plenty of stuff, but there haven't been plenty of people wake up. And so
I disagree. Will, I mean, take Bill Hicks for example. Woken immense amount of people.
He didn't cause a revolution, did he?
Well, you don't need to cause a revolution in order to have an effect. Every human being has particular skills and talents and these certain ways of going about their life on this planet, right? And it matters not whether you're the one to instigate an entire revolution, because no revolution has been built on a single man alone.
The thing is, you know, it's not a question of if you're having an effect. It's a question of if the effect is anywhere near big enough. Because that does matter. You're taking baby steps while they're taking giant leaps. And so who's going to win? You know?
Win, lose, like I believe a Patriot gun bearer said on the radio, on American Freedom Radio yesterday on the Chris and Cherie show, it doesn't matter, win, lose, or draw, we fight.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I totally agree. But you need to kind of look out sometimes and see, oh, well, if it is all about to cave in, what's your exit strategy going to be? Or if you're not going to have an exit strategy, but, you know.
Personally, anyway, I'm not prepared at least in the least. You know, I don't have stored food. I don't have gold. I don't have property of my own. I don't have an exit strategy. I have nothing. As far as I'm concerned, what I am is what I am, and that's the full stop. End of it, right? Because I can't afford to be anything else. Quite literally, in fact. And. Yeah. You know, I believe that because of the huge amount of contacts that I have in New Zealand and around the world, that perhaps somebody might be willing to help me, you know, like somebody will be my savior. And that's at the back of my mind. In the front of my mind, it's more like, well, you know, the New World Order is basically just pumping up all this police state stuff so that people will stand down in greater masses. And they're going to drop the hammer later once enough of us stand down, and personally, I think that spending every waking moment, and I had a friend over yesterday who said, Vinny, it looks like you haven't left your house in a couple of days. And I said, well, that's exactly right. Does it show? And he says, yes, man, it does. Because I've been at home, you know, posting up ridiculous amounts of articles and researching and doing the radio show and all of that. And that's kind of like my life at the moment, because this is the most effective thing that I can do. So again, it matters not whether or not you're successful. It's whether or not you're actually doing anything at all to help the cause. Mm-hmm. That's my bottom line. You know, it doesn't matter whether or not you're going to survive this whole conflagration that's going to jump down on us in an impending doom type fashion. If you refuse to be a slave, and if you dedicate yourself to the truth, and if you are willing to sacrifice your time, your effort, and even your life to defeating the New World Order scum that are trying to exterminate my entire species, then there ain't nothing wrong with your strategy.
No, well, there's nothing wrong with strategy. Well, what I'm saying is I think some people are too far gone, and I think they're going to, you know, like they all say, get what they deserve. Sad as it sounds. But they is us too, so...
Yeah, I was watching Endgame last night with my friend, and it comes onto this quote from David Rockefeller, and this is amusing. Something along the lines of... I think that China is incredibly successful at keeping social order because they have a police state. And we should be so lucky, more or less. And our producer, in the second time in a week, he's getting breath tested. And this is New Zealand, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't exactly the center of New World Order attention. I mean, we understand you in the United States. You poor guys. Anytime you're cruising out, you probably have some description of state trooper trying to pull you over and goodness knows what. But we're here to help your little neighbours down under. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back after the break. Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on this fabulous 6:31 a.m. September 11th local New Zealand time, broadcasting live from the future on the most futuristic network that is yet to exist on the face of this planetary body, American Freedom Radio at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Somewhat fabulous. And I wanted to get into a little bit of news here. Penny Bright, good friend of mine, had her on the show a couple of times. Yesterday, this is funny, I'll read the headline out on gorillamedia.co.nz. Chamber of Commerce denies Penny Bright access to Super City Candidates Breakfast. This is at the Heritage Hotel. This one from Penny. I'm sure there would have been some honest and decent business people who would have been very interested in what I had to say had the Auckland Chamber of Commerce not denied me entry, says the Auckland mayoral candidate Penny Bright. The only mayoral candidates invited to speak were the current mayors, John Banks, Len Brown, and Andrew Williams. Ms. Bright, judicially recognised public watchdog on Metro Water, Water and Auckland regional governance matters, was not invited to attend as either a mayoral candidate or as a member of the audience, despite her proven track record in fighting for open, transparent and democratically accountable local government. Notification of this event was emailed to Ms. Bright from a friend. I was advised by the Auckland Chamber of Commerce events manager that I was too late for me to be a speaker, and if I wished to attend, I would need to pay the same non-member registration fee as everyone else. So, I followed the process as I had been so advised by Auckland Chamber of Commerce events manager, emailed to my express interest in attending, and arrived at 7:30 a.m. On the 9th of September with enough cash to cover the non-member $65 plus GST entrance fee. My intention was to use the opportunity to mix and mingle and network, as I have done on other occasions where, as a mayoral candidate, I have not been given a formal opportunity to address the gathering. The same above-mentioned events manager denied me entry. No reasons given, despite my having done exactly what she had asked of me. How such woefully ignorant and discriminatory behaviour by the Auckland Chamber of Commerce assistance promoters and advances the interests of the commercial community participating in commerce and industry, especially in the region of Auckland and generally throughout New Zealand. As per Rule 213 of the Auckland Regional Chamber of Commerce and Industry. It's quite beyond me. Perhaps the directors of the Auckland Chamber of Commerce need to ensure that the good judgment of key employees in such matters is not impaired by their membership of partisan political organisations. Standing in these Auckland Council elections, I have filed a complaint with the Human Rights Commission. The Auckland Chamber of Commerce have picked on the wrong woman, concluded Ms. Bright. And damn sure... And damn, Skibby. Penny's the woman that you definitely, under any circumstances, don't mess with her. You know, not because she's evil or anything, but if you're messing with her and you're the one doing wrong, she'll croak you. She's a good sort, that Penny. And the upshot of this is that, and this is funny. As man, I mean, the coincidences are just so amazing. The meeting that Penny was not allowed to go into, some of the media were allowed to go into, and an article comes out of the paper the next day, the headline of which is Super City to be sold to Aussies. That's right. Super City to be sold to Aussies. And I have the paper right here. New Zealand business leaders gathered with their Australian counterparts in Sydney last night to discuss the commercial benefits of upcoming events in Auckland, such as the formation of the Super City and the Rugby World Cup. Kiwi business people at the event, organised by ARC development agency Auckland Plus, included Auckland Airport Chief Simon Motta, ex-All Black Captain David Kirk, and Marine Sector Leader Mark Reitman. Speaking before the event, Auckland Plus Acting Chairman Ross Peet said Australians are beginning to take investment in Auckland more seriously as the formation of the Super City, as well as the Rugby World Cup, loomed on the horizon. We think that a unified Auckland is going to help make the city a better destination for business, he said. I'm certainly a believer that this unified, integrated approach is very important for Auckland, Pete said. Having a single Auckland council would lighten regulation and make doing business less complex. The new council would also have a specialised focus on important sectors across the Auckland region, he added, rather than the current situation where each local government had its own approach to the various industries inside its jurisdiction. Mutter, who was a panellist at last night's event, agreed that the major changes in Auckland's local governance structure would have only a positive impact on business. I can't think of a single business voice that has been anything other than supportive of the formation of the Super City, he said. From a perspective of doing business, what you want to do is move quickly to certainty on decisions. Yeah, kind of like, oh, we're so certain that climate change is happening. Particularly around opportunities, having a single council rather than seven is always going to make things easier. easier for business, not as easy for the people who actually benefit from the business being conducted by council, of course. As well as explaining the benefits of the Super City to his Australian counterparts, Mutter said he would also pitch some development opportunities available at Auckland Airport. We've got 250 hectares of commercial development land at the airport, and we'd like to see that put to good use, he said. Mutter said the airport would like to see productive, innovative business moving into the commercialised zone, currently undeveloped land. We'd love to see some Australian investors coming up with ideas to put the land to good use. Yeah, that's right. Other people putting our land to good use for them. You know, and this is something that's echoed over the entire international community where business is moving in, regardless of sovereignty or any description of rights or whatever, and just swallowing up the economies, making us slaves on the land that we live in. Colin McKinnon, Executive Director of the New Zealand Private Equity and Venture Capital Association, also attended the event. He said the formation of the Super City would provide opportunities for the local innovation and investment scene if having a single council made Auckland a better place to work, live and play. Any improvements the new council makes to the city could help attract new research talent to Auckland's universities as well as angel investors. The interception of those groups then creates the opportunity to commercialise some of that research that comes out of the universities. So, the reason why, and this is my conspiracy theory, I don't have the facts on this, Penny Bright was kept out of the Auckland Chamber of Commerce meeting is because these are precisely the issues that they were discussing about the commercialisation, corporatisation and selling out of the entire Auckland region, which is the largest commercial and population centre in this entire country. The part of the country that makes or breaks elections, comparable in influence on an election campaign to California in the United States. This is what they want. And this is the implementation of Agenda 21. We are going to be amalgamated into a small little cabal of little freedomless states within our own countries for the administrative convenience of offshore banksters. That's my take. But I could be wrong, and I certainly hope I am, but I don't think so. And what's your take on this, Will?
I agree, yeah. No, totally agree. I'm against power consolidations in general. And this is no different. If it was anything different, then it should have been carried out in a democratic process, even though I don't believe in democracy. But it should have at least been an attempt to play a lawful sort of game and pretend that it wasn't anything more than a corrupt cabal pulling the strings and reorganizing Auckland as they intended. So, you know, but they obviously showed themselves from the start what they're about, really, in not having a referendum during this reorganization proposal. So, yeah, that's about it.
I mean, and they do this all the time, you know. I mean, we were guaranteed under law, I believe it's the Local Government Act, subsection 23 or something like that, that we have to have a binding public poll on any regional governance changes. And on the formation of the Super City, which is basically just a big corporatization of the entire region, they said, oh, well, this law's too old. Let's get rid of it. So it's like, oh, hold on a second. People having a say is too old a concept to accommodate anymore. So let's just dictate to them. the tyranny. I love being a slave, and I love to behave. You know, what's the point doing anything else, you know, that's good for your country when, of course, you could just be a happy little slave? Oh, yes. Oh, darling.
It's all about how people see – it's all about how people see success, Vinny. Because have you noticed with a bunch of scum out there, they always ask – oh, what are you doing? What are you doing these days? And they're real nosy, busybodies. But their terms of righteousness are always based upon, you know, how much tax you're paying the government and you know, yeah, basically how much you're following orders and just sucking up to a system you don't understand and being a dupe. And that's all their measurement of success is. You tell them that you're working against the best interests of the government because their best interests aren't the best for all of us. And, you know, I don't like politics. I'll leave that for you. It's really boring. I'll leave politics to the experts. If you read how people fill out profiles and they talk about themselves and it gets to politics and they go, leave it to the experts. Boring, not interested, doesn't affect me, all this sort of stuff.
It doesn't affect me! I can just
I know I should participate. They think about it on completely the wrong terms. They'll say things like, I know I should participate, but when it comes to election time, I try and study for the last 2 weeks and learn about the candidates. As if that's learning about politics. They talk about personas. They talk about celebrity. They're not talking about politics. They don't understand anything. You know, this is the problem with our generation. The last generation was stupid. Our generation is retarded.
There's a progression.
At least we're making
progress.
The new world order is getting smarter and smarter and smarter to the point where it takes our whole mental faculty just to be able to try and understand how they put this together. Yeah, and yet they're getting smarter and smarter and smarter. Their machine's getting more well oiled by the minutes with all this false liquidity they're pouring in. People are buying into it, they're believing in it, therefore the false liquidity is real enough in this time space continuum. And their machine rolls on while the average person is just completely, completely oblivious, and there is no dollars to be made in them not being oblivious. And so they continue, well, they probably are, but not from where they stand. But so they continue just to perpetuate the ill that they refuse exists.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
With all this talk going on, and I believe I was listening to Salente on Rens Radio last night, and I've never heard Gerald Salente talk like this way, man. You know, he was angry and really ruthless, and, you know, the New World Order is a frickin' tapeworm sucking out everything. You know, I've never seen him act like this. But he's saying, along with many other contacts that I have, that the financial crisis is going to become an extra special ordeal in the coming months. About November is what he's saying. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio with Will. And we'll be right back after the break.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations. I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite. By satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope. Through a telescope. Through a telescope.
This power. Welcome to the Holocaust. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. And I have some fabulous news, and I'm sure you'll appreciate this, Will. This one from politico.com. Environmental lobbying group shuts down after climate bill stalls. By Darren Samuelson. This is posted, I believe, yesterday or something. Climate advocates stung by defeat in the Senate are folding one of their big umbrella lobbying groups. Clean Energy Works, a coalition of 80 environmental, religious, veteran and labour groups, will phase out its operations this fall as Democratic congressional leaders abandon plans for a sweeping bill to cap greenhouse gas emissions. Thank frickin' God! At its peak, the coalition had 200 field organizers in key states and more than 45 staffers based out of a war room in downtown Washington. It is led by Paul Tews, who ran President Barack Obama's 2008 campaign operations in Iowa and other battleground states. Environmentalists close to the campaign say their donors are still committed to the effort of taxing the living bejesus out of everybody for no frickin' reason, but decisions on the coalition's future hinge on whether Democrats hold their House and Senate majorities and what agenda they want to pursue in 2011, i.e. Agenda 21, which is what they'll pursue for the entirety of the 21st century until they all die of old age like the rest of us.
It's when are we going to get a climate cultist on the show? I really want one, like that Mel's Bart in Agenda 21.
We've had Mel's Bart.
Yeah, I know. But did you get stuck into Mel about it?
No, not exactly.
See? Literally, scum need their heads cut off.
Oh, yeah. Scum need their heads cut off, but there's plenty of shows that do that. And as far as I'm concerned, whenever you have a guest on a show, it's kind of rude to attack them unless they're there specifically with the knowledge that you are going to have a debate on things in an open and aggressive manner.
Rude of them to promote Agenda 21 also and have the cheek to then come on radio shows pretending they like people.
Well, indeed, that's why after they go off the line, that's when we sum up everything for the audience and say, yes, very much they were promoting Agenda 21, which is this, this, and this, you know. And if the climate cultists did any research, they would realize that they should never come on this show because we backstab them all up to hell.
Yeah.
You know, and the confrontation in the first place, I find, is absolutely essential. You know, I mean, but on the other hand, we're kind of real cordial, you and me, Will. You know, like I was watching our Helen Clark ambush video yesterday with my friend Rajat, and he was just absolutely loving it because of the fact that we acted like we were as if some description of professional reporters. All right, and they have this kind of cordial manner about them, and you can accomplish a heck of a lot more with honey rather than lemon, so says our producer here. But I was kind of thinking to myself that's very emblematic of this show. You know, I'm the honey, you're the lemon, and together we're a nice tasty drink that will cure your ills, you know.
Lemon, thanks.
Oh, come on, bro. You're at least a little bit sour, and I definitely know that you've got plenty of pips in there. Now, it's basically like hitting the pause button and trying to figure out how to redeploy, said one source affiliated with Clean Energy Works. Clean Energy Works spokesman David D. Martino said the group's phase out was long expected. It was originally designed to be a temporary thing, he told Politico. It makes sense at the end of Congress that there'd be some retooling and some sort of revised kind of approach to what we've been working on, i.e. the public ain't buying our lies, so we've got to figure out a new way to lie to them. Volunteers deployed to Clean Energy Works will start returning this fall to their original organizations. If you came over from LCV, you are going back to LCV, DiMartino said, referring to the League of Conservation Voters. If you're a consultant like me, you'll hopefully go on to other like-minded campaigns. In the short term, leaders tied to the group say that they will focus on fighting to defend the Environmental Protection Agency's authority to regulate carbon dioxide from power plants and other industrial sources under the Clean Air Act. Despite the ultimate failure to enact a climate bill, DiMartino and others tied to the coalition said they did their job well on the communications front by propagandizing the public and making them all realize that they are a bunch of useless slaves that have no say in what the government does. The commitment to collaboration secured impressive and intangible results. Hundreds of discipline message events across the country, thousands of earned media clips, a growing coalition including newly engaged small businesses that have been propagandized to think that they can be effective, and they earned and paid media campaigns, expanded group presence nationally, a national communications rapid response system, because obviously climate change is happening that quickly that they need a rapid response team, you know, all donned in black black police gear, you know. And volumes of detailed public opinion research. Public opinion research. No facts. The take-home
They have all the facts.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We have all the facts because we're climate cultists, you know, and obviously anybody who believes that the climate is warming due solely to human activity and doesn't regard the sun at all as influencing past life on Earth is
I'm yet to find any who can debate facts. Problem is, we've got climate cultists. We've got climate cultists coming to our 9/11 truth protest today.
Oh,
I wish
God.
The scum would go somewhere else, to be honest. No, but they're on our side. Yep, but the fools can't see through it.
Mm-hmm. It is a freaked out world, and you can never agree with everybody on everything. But it doesn't mean that you should just shush and sit in the back of the room and say nothing. You need to get on your feet and you scream at the top of your lungs, no, I won't. Like, no, I won't let my country fall. Bangsters. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Bill on American Freedom Radio and the Vinnie Eastwood Show. To the break. Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And I just wanted to mention our fabulous sponsor, Garden Microbes, GardenMicrobes.com, run by Daniel New, who is Michael New's father. Michael New, just in case if any of you don't know, he's a Patriot soldier. And unlike many soldiers in the United States military, he knows something about the Constitution. So when they asked him to wear a UN uniform and all his fellow soldiers lined up in blue, he was the one green finger sticking out to his CO. And in that honor, I'd like to promote GardenMicrobes.com. You can spray chemicals and poison all over your food, all you want, to make them nice, big, and juicy. Or you can use a natural fertilizer. Microbial action is one of the most effective ways of getting toxins out of your soil and making sure that your fruit and vegetables reach their full potential with their full spectrum of vitamins and minerals that they are supposed to have. With all the GMOs and all the chemtrails destroying the soil so that we can't grow jack, this is probably one of the most important purchases if you grow food that you will ever make in your life. Go to gardenmicrobes.com and see how much it can actually benefit you and your family. Keep your health close to home. GardenMicrobes.com. If you have a, give them a call, 8889-MICROBES. That's 8889-MICROBES. GardenMicrobes.com and info them, email them at info@GardenMicrobes.com. Thank you very much. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to have Lisa from the Green Party. Not the Green Party anymore. She was in the Green Party. She's a creator of a famous line of hummus dips here in New Zealand, Lisa's Hummus. And she's a decent lady, and she's been one of the very few people that have paid a full price for my Mr. News DVDs, and she's up with the play with the New World Order. And she has launched a new political party called The Awareness Party at www.theawarenessparty.com. And after the break, we're going to have Lisa on the show to inform us all about what awareness really is in terms of political struggle. One would assume that if you don't understand the New World Order, there's no such thing as awareness politically. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Lil on American Freedom Radio and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Living so don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you ever stand? They pay the bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? Replace our human
rights. Yeah, it's all a planned absurdity. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the New World Order. We love to enslave you, and we love to propagandize you, and we also love to poison you. And let's say the antithesis to this is the truth movement, in my opinion. And the truth movement comes in many shapes and forms and facets. And in that spirit, we have Lisa on the line from theawarenessparty.com. She just started this up in New Zealand. And quite frankly, I haven't had the chance to go and research into it. So I'm going to allow Lisa to tell us herself. Lisa, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will.
Thank you very much, Vinnie Eastwood and Will.
Now, give us a breakdown. What's the Awareness Party all about?
Well, just at the beginning of May, so it's very new, I just got this idea. It might be a crazy idea, but what happened about politics in the past was it was all run by religion. And what's happened since, it's all entirely secular. So we've lost the values that we really need to found a good society on. So I've brought back into what I'm creating a set of values which can be used for politics, to base politics on, or business, or family life, or whatever. But the idea at the moment is that we have a political movement in New Zealand, which may become a political party, depends what happens, but a political movement that's really aspiring for the very best in all policies. And I know people try to do that, but what they tend to say is, well, we can't do that because it's going to be too expensive. Well, we can't do this for another reason or that reason. Well, I'm thinking that if we really aspire to the best, everything will fall into place in the long term. And I have a lovely quote by the American Richard Buckminster Fuller. And it says, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. So my intention is to make the existing model obsolete. Does that give you some idea?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not entirely dissimilar from my methodology, where in the media, for example, it's just no longer relevant, so let's just go ahead and replace them. There's no point fighting them because, you know, it's the nature of the universe that whatever you create, the process via which you create it will dictate its outcome. You know, if fascism, for example, it all ends in tears because that's how it all starts. So one would only assume that in order to make a better system, you have to base it on better principles, right? And isn't this part of the problem with politics these days, Lisa, is that people have forgotten their principles?
Absolutely. I think a lot of politicians go in with good intentions and they get caught up in the system. I mean, in New Zealand, and I'm sure it's the same in the States, the system of governing involves sitting there arguing. I mean, that's not very productive, and it's not a good use of taxpayers' money. So the Awareness Party suggests that we create a vision for the country, whatever country it is. We create a vision because the Awareness Party principles, which I'll tell you in a minute, they can be used in any country, in, you know, anywhere. So if we have a vision created by the people for what we want for the country, then the government of the day will just choose how they govern to create those principles, but the people will have created that as to what they want. and my inspiration for that was Malaysia, which has big signs all over the country that say 2020, because they've decided to have education and housing for all by 2020. So every time people look at that, they think, oh, this is great. This is a wonderful vision for our country. So I have sort of ideas of something a little bit like that. You've got to be very careful not to go into the indoctrination side of things, but more of an inspirational aspect. And excuse me, I do have a cold and the dog's just left the door open. Yes, so I have this idea that if we did that and we had binding citizens-initiated referenda like Switzerland does, so if any issues come up, the people can vote and have a referenda and the government has to follow it, because we've had referenda here, like the one on we wanted to have a moratorium on genetic engineering, keep New Zealand pristine and free from genetic engineering, and the government took absolutely no notice, even though there were people, you know, out all over the streets making a huge noise about it. They completely ignored us. So I think it's important that we have the opportunity to say what we want, and the questions on the referenda have to be very carefully written as well, because we just had a referendum where the question was loaded. And so it didn't work. You know the one I mean, Vinny?
Yeah, we're talking about the smacking bill here. Should it be a criminal offence for anybody to smack their children as part of good parental correction? And the answer's obviously just like, no, you shouldn't have to be going to jail for disciplining a child. You know, after all, if you had it that way, society would be collapsed because there'd be no authority within a household. And if the family breaks down, the community breaks down. If the community breaks down, the country breaks down, you know, so there's big domino effect, right? But the problematic difficulty with the government launching such referenda is the fact that they never listen. Has there ever been a referendum in your experience that the government's actually listened to? Because I've never seen this.
Not in New Zealand, I don't think.
You know,
and it costs $9 million. I mean, that might sound small fry in the States, but $9 million to have a referendum to find out what the people think and then totally ignore it. I mean, it's insanity, isn't it?
Yeah, and it strikes to me the same chord as the Law Commission's report on the Misuse of Drugs Act. They come out and they say, oh, well, you know, cannabis ain't that really that bad. Perhaps we should regulate it and decriminalise it and allow people to have, you know, health benefits from medical cannabis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Before even listening to any of that or before even reading the report, the government goes, no, no, no. After paying $400,000 of taxpayers' money in order to get the commission to do it, you know. And it seems to me that, hey, aren't they spending an awful lot of money to find out what their opposition thinks and then do the exact opposite?
It seems really ridiculous. So my theory for the Awareness Party is that we have seven principles, and those principles, if you run any legislation past it, will be able to give you really the answer as to what you need to do in government. So I'll tell you what the Awareness Party principles are. And the first one is oneness. And that's a pretty easy one. We're all one on this planet. The oneness of all life, we're one people on one planet. The second one, awareness, to be aware of the earth as a self-regulated living being. And this is the theory of scientist James Lovelock. But, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, really, that without the nature and this beautiful planet, we can't live. So if we treat it badly, we've had it. And, I mean, that's what's happening with all the chemicals that are stopping the bees pollinating, for example, and a lot of other things that are going, huge number of other things that are going really wrong with nature at the moment. So
the chemtrails, geoengineering, we've got a lot of that stuff going on in this country too.
Yes, a lot of it. So, and we're supposed to be clean, green New Zealand, and it's supposed to be good for our exports. Well, you know, we've got to tell the truth here. And the truth is that we're not much better than anybody else. So, yeah.
It's all just a big marketing ploy, ladies and gentlemen. If you're thinking of coming to New Zealand to see clean, green New Zealand, just remember that you can go to Nazi Germany in 1939 and find freedom.
Now, well, I still think New Zealand is a beautiful place. And I think because we've got only 4 million people here, it's possible to create real change in this country. And if we do, and if we get it right, then the rest of the world can say, hey, what are they doing right? And then they might be interested as well. So that's my total vision, is as if we can get it right here, then it's possible for everybody else.
And so the next principle is
kindness in thought and words and actions. It's amazing. It's an old-fashioned word, kindness, but it's really, it does wonders. And in Christchurch, where we've had this huge earthquake, what they're feeding us back on the media is that people are being so kind, so warm and nice to one another, in a way that they wouldn't have been if there hadn't been the earthquake. It's crazy. We have to wait for a disaster to be kind to one another. And the next principle is compassion, as the kind of Buddhist compassion for all living things in all situations. And that's very important because the next principle is self-responsibility for everything we do, say, and experience. And if you think about self-responsibility, what we have in this country is we have three generations of adults on the benefit, on social welfare. Now, there's something wrong with that, and it's also a huge expense for the country. We've got to have social welfare for the people that fall by the wayside, and I really believe in this. But we don't just feed them money and ignore them. What we should be doing is trying to educate them, bring them back into society so they can be useful members of society. And so we need to have a really good support system for once a person hasn't got a job, needs social welfare, then we need to perhaps support them just in finding a job, which we already have that here. Then we need to have support for people who are perhaps mentally ill or something like that, we need a better support than just feeding them pharmaceutical drugs, which probably makes them a lot worse. I'm into natural therapies and things like that. So, and then we need
decent diet and decent exercise will do a heck of a lot more benefit for you than any copiously dangerous psychotropics.
Exactly. So that's another issue, of course. But the whole thing is we then need to have perhaps government-funded businesses for people to work in, so that they're not sitting at home and watching TV. And what happens here is people sit at home and they watch the cheapest of American television, and they just sort of see all these incredibly rich people and feel like a have-not. And that's just boosts crime in the country.
Just an idea here. Does that not lead to everyone being employed by the government, though, and having more dependence on the state?
It shouldn't do. It's not my intention. So it has to be built up carefully. So no, hopefully not.
There's a similar Finland exercise going on in Finland or the Netherlands, I forget which, where you're actually paid a certainly decent living wage. If you can't find employment with private employers, they will employ you only temporarily in government jobs to ensure that your work ethic doesn't slack whilst you're doing it. And I think they don't make you work full time or anything like that, so you can find other employment. It's something to keep you busy in the meantime whilst you search for private sector work.
Keep busy, slave.
Well, that sounds like a reasonable idea. we had years ago, probably before you'd remember, Vinny, the railway workshops in Whanganui, and people that didn't get work could go and work in these railway workshops, which was keeping the rail system on track in New Zealand.
So to speak.
Yeah. So self-responsibility covers a whole lot of things too. I mean, if you look at more of the American system than here, but still here, a lot of things, if they go wrong, everybody's looking for somebody to blame, and legal battles go on, you know, who's the person to blame, and it's all your fault, even if I just dropped a hot McDonald's coffee on my lap, you know. So we've got to get away from that. It's just ridiculous. It's just a waste of time, a waste of money, and it's insanity, I think.
Don't you think there is someone to blame for the intrinsic monetary problems? Like, you talked about how much money we waste on social welfare. That is absolutely nothing compared to how much money we're being indebted by the fact that we have to go outside to central powers for our money supply.
I think that is a huge issue, and it's one that I'm looking at already. However, seeing every American president who looked at having some other alternative from the European banks got assassinated, I'm not going to talk about that.
So we've got to be afraid of them. That's awesome. That's awesome. We've all got to run away and be recluses and be afraid of them and divert people into other energy. Yeah, okay, well, yeah.
No. We're doing stuff here. We're doing stuff here. And, I mean, we have our own Kiwi Bank in New Zealand, which is part of that. I mean, it's our own bank. It's not part of the worldwide system, and I think that's fantastic.
About that, you know how we got the KiwiSaver scheme, right? How, like, even the Kiwi Bank KiwiSaver scheme goes to all the money goes into a foreign, privately owned finance company. And in New Zealand, I think in the last, 4 years or something, we've had something along the region of 19 finance companies fail. and what they want to do is pour all the country's people's savings into these finance companies to bankrupt us all.
Yeah, it's totally socialist to say that everyone gets an incentive for putting their money with KiwiSaver, and you get paid $1,000 or $3,000 something on your first home if you agree to certain conditions of theirs. They're out using your money, real money, the real deposits you make, to then go invest in weapons and gold and Israeli guidance systems and all sorts of stuff.
basically gambling with our savings.
And then tell you that that's a responsible thing to do for your retirement. What a clever bit of propaganda. And Kiwi Bank also uses the same inflationary practice of fractional reserve banking to devalue all New Zealanders' dollars. So, you know.
Well, I totally agree with that, yes. And I'm actually, I'm busy at the moment. I haven't got an answer yet, but I'm busy at looking at other systems. So if anybody wants to contact me on about other systems, I'm very interested in looking for something to be
promotional about. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back. Some propaganda.
I wanna jam it with you.
I want to jump some propaganda.
Jamming.
Rasta propaganda. We will see you through. If Lisa doesn't die first.
Swine flu, Vinny.
Oh, yeah. Hey, my girlfriend, her friend's flatmate has swine flu, and flatmate really, really freaked out about it, you know. She's like, oh, my God, you didn't wash your hands after you came out of the bathroom. It's on the doorknob. Blah. And he, like, comes out, and he, like, puts his hands all over her, you know, like, no. She just goes, ah! You know, I was thinking to myself, isn't that the most hilarious thing you can do to somebody who's paranoid about swine flu? Is come up to them infected with swine flu and put your hands all over them and just go, well, you'll find out how serious it is. Not very serious at all, especially if you can get your hands on some vitamin C.
Yes, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah.
What numbered principle were you up to, Lisa? We were going through the principles of the awareness party. I believe there's 7, and I think that we were up to number 4.
Nope, 5. Self-responsibility was 5. Getting away from the culture of blame and victims, you know, I don't want to see myself as a victim, so therefore I'm not going to blame everybody for my own failings or being in the wrong place at the wrong time or whatever else happens. And then the next one, balance in all areas of society and the environment. And balance, particularly about finance, I mean, it's really tricky. If you think about, you know, a seesaw, you know, in the children's playground, if you're a communist, you want complete balance on either side. You want, you know, the same amount on either side of the seesaw so that it is dead straight. If you think about what we have at the moment, we have in the world incredibly rich people and incredibly poor people. And so we at the moment have the seesaw with, you know, one lot are sitting on the ground there with all the money and the other people up in the air, and there's no movement. There's still not movement. We've got to reduce the amount that the extreme rich have, and it's got to go to the poorer people, because we are one people on one planet, and it's just crazy. Absolutely crazy that we have people starving to death in this day and age.
Well, we should probably nationalize. We should nationalize the major corporate banks. Then, I mean, because they're the ones that are holding all the poker cards in this game here.
If you gave $1 million, if you took $1 million from John Banks, and his ilk, and you gave that to the poorest, you took $1 million from each one of these, the wealthiest, and you gave that to the poorest, they'll still be poor in a year's time. Because it's just relativism. It just changes the scale, but it still leaves them poor. I don't know if you can use a government to force equality upon a system that's inherently bad.
Well, New Zealand doesn't honour the Millennium Goals that it's supposed to from the United Nations. We're supposed to give a certain amount of money to other countries. Then there's things like the International Monetary Fund. The IMF should reduce, I mean, should let some of these incredibly poor countries get rid of their debt. Sorry, coughing here.
That's the funniest thing, though. We're saying we're not keeping up with our UN requirement, but it's the UN who indebted Africa in the first place.
Oh, that's right.
And this is the whole joke. And then they go and say you guys should pay them some money and stop being so selfish and evil capitalists. But they're the ones who used a socialist system on the ground anyway, in order to indebt most African nations and pay off their dictators, default upon loans they own the countries and the people and everything else.
Yeah, they do it to Brazil. They even did it here in 84. And basically, the Rogernomics reforms was a World Bank idea.
Well, yes, and that was what Margaret Thatcher was doing in the UK at the time as well. But I mean, it's the Commonwealth system. The British and other European countries too. They ruined Africa years and years ago. And there'll only ever be any interest in assisting Africa if they get into some getting more minerals out of the ground, and the African governments say, stand up for themselves and say, no, you know, you can't have these without paying us a decent amount of money. I mean, at the moment, the global economy is just raping all the small economies, including New Zealand. And so something has to be done about that.
I think rather than forced redistribution of wealth, if you had a system, a monetary system that empowered the average individual, like a true free market, so that intelligent individuals could actually launch a competitive industry against Standard Oil, say, a competitive model against McDonald's, then you wouldn't have this idea of, you know, huge monolithic corporations and governments and everything else who tend to favour certain corporations, give them an unfair trade advantage. So I think it's government regulation that's, in fact, the problem. And then we're trying to solve the problem with more government regulation.
Yeah, I agree with you, Will. The United States, for instance, was the most highly educated and had the best and strongest middle class before the Federal Reserve System came in, because it was true free market, right? They weren't international banksters in control of the central banking system in the country, and so therefore it empowered the individual because their money was not based on debt. As soon as the debt economy becomes the economy, all the individuals lose out, and it matters not whether or not you live in a country where you have free voting or rigged voting. The end result is precisely the same.
I think the only way to get around that is some sort of social credit system, where the government actually prints its own money.
I agree. The social credit party has, well, if there's one party in the last 20 years that should have had a heck of a lot more attention than they've been getting, it would most certainly be the social credit party. It's the crux, really. The banking system is the means by which we're dictated to from international banksters. So therefore, the obvious solution, the one that'll cut the throat of the New World Order, is obviously social credit. But, you know, it's so hard to get traction on such a thing because they've got sophisticated propaganda that say, oh, they're talking about funny money, you know? Funny money as opposed to fiat currency that doesn't exist, that's created on a frickin' computer, mate!
I agree. Our government should have its own sovereign power to print the money, pretty much, which wouldn't be interest or debt-bearing, so...
That's the direction that I'm going in. So
Agree. But I think that actually comes, and I think this is the whole point. I think too many political organisations these days are focusing on the tinsel rather than the tree. you know, and just little things, or what I think are little things. And so we're focusing on like biodiversity and our environment and everything else, which is important. But then in the system where everyone is a slave to the watch and everyone's getting up and going to work 9 o'clock on Monday for one reason only, we need to address that one reason. And then if people are more empowered economically, we might be able to start caring about our friends and family and environment more.
Well, yes, I do. I definitely agree with that, for sure. As long as it's people are taking responsibility and not just sitting on a government grant, because it is, after all, our responsibility. We're here in a physical body, in a physical world, and it's our job to take to look after ourselves. But the grind, the daily grind, is something that needs to be addressed, I suppose. Yeah. So, well, I think we definitely agree on the financial situation here, and probably where we should go as well. And so the last principle, the seventh principle, is communities. And I think that unless we do operate within community, we're not going to manage all the earth changes and whatever's going on, you know, for us to move forward. And there again, if I mention Christchurch and the earthquake, people are working within communities. But why does it have to take a disaster to for us to get to know our next door neighbours, you know?
It seems to me that that people are already used to living in a disaster. So it's only when a much bigger one comes along that they get jolted out of their sleep, so to speak.
That's exactly it. I mean, that's what a disaster does, isn't it? I mean, you have a whole pile of people praying to God, saying, oh, you know, God help me, kind of thing. Like, if everything was absolutely beautiful all the time, would we develop as human beings? Would we, you know, or would we just always stay the same? Right. Would it be
boring? I agree. It's meant to be a struggle. It's meant to be adversity. Yeah.
I have the perfect anecdote to this. There was this dude in Hurricane Katrina, and he was on his front porch and the water was rising, and, you know, this guy comes along in a rowboat, and he says, hey, mate, you know, jump in the rowboat, we'll take you to safety. And the guy goes, no, don't worry, God will save me. And he's like, all right, mate, you know, and he takes off. And then a day or two later, the water's up to the second level on his house, so he's standing up in one of his top windows looking out. Guy in a speedboat comes by, and he says, hey, mate, you know, jump in the boat. We'll take you to safety. The guy goes, no, God will save me. I'll be fine. So he's like, all right, and he drives off. And then the water's up to his waist when he's standing on his roof, and a helicopter comes down and throws a ladder down to him. He says, come on, mate, jump, climb up the rope ladder. We'll take you to safety. And he goes, no, God will save me. Obviously it is. And so he dies. And then he drowns. Up in heaven, he says to God, why didn't you save me? And God says, well, mate, I sent a rowboat, a speedboat, a helicopter. What more do you want?
Yeah, it's pretty much like that, isn't it? Yeah.
Waiting around for somebody to save them, and the reality is we are living in a 3D universe at the moment, you know. I mean, I haven't managed to figure out how to cross into different astral planes yet and live there. So in the meantime, bullets still kill me. Yeah. In the meantime, bullets still kill me, vaccines still hurt me, so I'm not going to be silly enough to think that anything's going to save me from it other than my own common sense and my own personal responsibility.
You made a good point there, Vinny, because a lot of people who learn about all this stuff then get real ethereal and say, well, hey, it's all an illusion anyway, so it doesn't matter. But you're right, it does, for where we are here and now, these things do matter.
That's one of the things that annoys me a little bit about the sort of the New Age thing is that, oh, yes, it's all an illusion, so we don't have to worry. You know, and I think we are, you know, spiritual beings having a physical experience. That's my personal belief.
Lisa's like one of those rare gems that you find, one of the post New Agers, you know.
A post New Ager.
Yeah. Like you've evolved somewhat, you know, because we were talking about this, how the New Age movement is somewhat Luciferian in its teachings, you know, and the New Age movement was sort of created as sort of this this cult to save the earth, you know, like everybody's just, ooh, yes, and then they're just completely, well, in many cases, frickin' nuts. You know, like, hey, Pinky Reynolds. Have you ever met Hey Pinky Reynolds?
I know Hey Pinky, but I wouldn't really call her New Age. I'd just call her an ex-drug addict.
I would just call her freaking
I didn't
nuts.
Invite her today.
Hey, I just realised we're on radio, and I shouldn't have said that, and I do totally apologise. But
don't worry, we can say, we can be honest here.
Some people make it hard for people to exist, really. Yeah. So, yeah, apologies there. I'm not happy with that. anyway, yes. So, my website, www.theawarenessparty.com, has lots more information on it and loads of fantastic links to all sorts of alternative biodynamics, transition towns,
and various other things as well. And we'll get it into more of the debate after the break. Our special guest is Lisa Err from TheAwarenessParty.com. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back.
Gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone.
For the times, they are a-changing. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Make sure you check out our sponsor, GardenMicrobes.com, and the website of our guest, TheAwarenessParty.com. And it is with, well, a decent smile on my face, that we celebrate New Zealand's September 11th. We will be on Queen Street handing out DVDs, talking to the public, and afterwards we will be showing a screening of what's the film that we're showing a screening of, Will?
Zero, and it's an Italian documentary from 2008, I believe, and really great. Really, you watch Zero and you'll walk away going, 9/11 was an inside job.
Well, that's hopefully the point. False Flag Terrorism Appreciation Week is next week. Want to pay homage to the Gulf of Tonkin, the Lusitania, 9/11. Oklahoma City and the first World Trade Center bombing. We salute all those who died, and we hope that in some small way we can help them get justice. Oh yes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I wanted to do something special just now to remember those who were killed in the September 11th attacks, and hope that their families one day will find closure. I know that Luke Radowski and a lot of the 9/11 truth movement are going to be active tomorrow in the United States, and here in New Zealand on September 11th, we're going to be active too. So don't you worry. We're here behind you every step of the way, the world over, and I'd just like to have a moment of silence to remember those people who died. On a lighter note, our special guest, Lisa Err, from the Awareness Party, has been talking to us about, well, what I would deem to be in mainstream society is revolutionary ideas, but in the truth of society is actually pretty logical, you know, because after all, mainstream society is, well, like Will said earlier, retarded, because they don't see what's going on. So how the heck can they ever propose solutions that work?
Well, that's the point. I mean, people can't get past money, can they? They can't get past the monetary system.
Yeah, it's the big thorn in my side, yeah. Really, you know. We need money to survive, you know. We used to need just family and common sense to survive, you know, grow our own food, make our own clothes, our own soap, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, at that point it was a very pre-industrialized society, and we weren't able to accomplish quite as much in terms of, you know, big projects, you know, building bridges and skyscrapers at that point. You know, society's changed such a huge amount with technology. However, the principles of self, self-responsibility and self-sustainability still exist, and the fact that we have all this new technology thrown into the mix means that those practices can actually be made relatively easy by comparison to the, struggle and strife that people had to endure in previous days.
Well, that's true. So I see the Awareness Party as a bridge to a new way. We can't just switch from what's happening now to a new way. We need a bridge, and I see us as a bridge. So I think the way to move forward is through sustainability and environmentalism, absolutely, or we won't have a planet that can sustain us. Fewer extremes between rich and poor. Non-violence in all circumstances. And I heard all this advertising about guns, and I thought, I'd like to see a gun-free society. New structures
Hitler
of government.
Hitler liked a gun-free society as well, but continue.
I think he had some. New structures of governance, economics, and trade. So that's new structures of government, governance, economics, and trade, and encouraging community and decentralization. So that's the core of the way to move forward, in my opinion.
I would totally 100% agree that decentralization is the way to go. My feelings is that centralization is responsible for a large amount of society's problems that we have today, because it takes society away from their own solutions and their ability to self-govern. A participatory society where people take responsibility for their actions and responsibility for their communities is something that I would like to advocate very much. However, the buzzwords of sustainability, it reeks of UNism.
Oh, no, not that sort of sustainability. I'm talking about farming.
I know exactly what you mean, but we both know that it's...
They just pitched our word.
You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be back next week. Intel Hub up next.